West Washington Avenue here, Broome Street, Dayton Street, and then Bedford. So we're actually talking tonight about a little bit more area because we're talking about both sides of West Washington Avenue. So at that time, remember way back when, we were really struggling with what we should recommend in the plan for the future of that area because we've been getting a lot of very conflicting ideas of kind of the future for that area. And this is a building heights map that we had at that time. You can even see, you know, we had proposals for the whole downtown, except this area right here where we have 1, 2, 3 different proposals. And, you know, we're trying to get a little traction so we know which way to go with our recommendations. So way back in February, you sort of kind of gave us a little some nuggets of direction. And so kind of what we think we heard was to, preserving or keeping the essence of Mifflin Street, the 400 or 500 blocks, kind of the way that it is now. But there are some opportunities for some redevelopment and some infill development. And you guys had all kinds of great and creative thoughts about how that mix might all work. And so what we've been doing, a lot since that time, but what we've been doing for this area is to try to put together a couple alternatives that really keep the core of the district. So on this map, and you guys have copies of this in front of you, if anybody in the audience didn't get any of these, I have other copies. Everybody, I should say, we just got done with the meeting over across the street, a public meeting on the same thing that I think everybody in the audience here was at, so they could come in that forum and give you guys more of an opportunity to talk. So what you see here, again, here's Broome Street on the right-hand side, Dayton on top, Bedford, and West Main down here. So West Wash cuts right through here, and this is Mifflin Street. Basically, what you're seeing on these maps are the white buildings are existing buildings. The gold buildings are proposed new buildings or representations of new buildings. And the blue buildings are structures that are relocated from elsewhere in the site. So what we are showing here are two options that really preserve and enhance the core of West Mifflin. That's why there's a cluster of white buildings. And this first option has a significant amount of redevelopment, particularly along both sides of West Washington Avenue. So under this scenario, the houses that are there now are either relocated maybe to some of these spots, or they're demolished, they're gone, except for this cluster right at room that's more, maybe more historic. And it's got some of the buildings located here in blue to fill in some of the gaps. But the idea is to have some new development that can really densify the area, create some revenue that can go into fixing up some of these houses for the long term. This is a 25-year plan, so these aren't going to happen. We're not proposing that, you know, this is going to happen tomorrow. But over the long term, we're really trying to get at what's a good, engaging vision for the future of this area, making it a place that's going to be a really cool place to live and a really vital part of the downtown. Kind of at the core of both of these concepts is this new urban lane called a lot of things, lunar, but urban lane, not an alley, that is splitting these two blocks between West Mifflin and West Washington Avenue. These two blocks, I think as we talked about in February, it's too long ago for me to really remember, hopefully you too, that these blocks are deeper than other blocks in that area and many of the blocks downtown. There were some discussions when we met in February about, because right now, these blocks are basically ringed with these, you know, what were originally houses, in a big open space in the middle that is surface parking, mostly for commuters. And we talked about maybe there's an opportunity, particularly in those blocks, with that extra depth to support some additional development that not only would, you know, bring some new investment in the area, but could really be a catalyst for some of those things to happen in the future, really solidify this area. So we came up with this concept of an urban lane. It's got some buildings that front it, so it's not a street. You know, it's a pretty pedestrian friendly place. There are cars on it, but mostly the traffic is to access underground parking that would be for these buildings. We're actually having buildings that front it, and this might be a little hard for you to see, but here's an image of kind of what it looks like now. If you're standing on Bedford and you're looking kind of back towards the Capitol down the middle of that block, so if you are, you're standing right here, so number two on your sheet, this is a six-story development that the Kellers did a few years ago that incorporates frontage on West Washington Avenue that's lower, but then it gets back behind that towards the center of the block and it goes up there. So this is looking like right behind that building. So this is an actual photograph. The shape of that building is right here, so you can kind of orient yourself. And this image is meant to give you a bit of a flavor for kind of what we would be envisioning that place could feel like. So it's got sidewalks on both sides of the street and some pedestrian lighting and some lower buildings. We're only talking like two or three story, almost townhousing kind of building that would be fronting that alley. And that's what these smaller squares represent. This is kind of what they could look like. What we're thinking about. So you have the buildings along West Mifflin Street that are like two and a half stories, basically what's there now, with these buildings that are of a similar scale, basically built in their backyard. This main right now takes its width off of only these lots on the north, so it doesn't go right down the middle of the block, does do that. So right now, the six-block area has a density of about 30 units an acre, 32.2 to be exact. And under this first proposal, it's the more aggressive one, bumps that up ultimately to about 60 units per acre. The second alternative is very similar. After we really have been studying it and looking at this idea of this urban lane as kind of an organizing feature that functionally make it all work, I think we all really like that idea. So the second alternative, the primary difference is it keeps the houses along West Washington Avenue, or if there's redevelopment, that same size, shape, scale, orientation on the lot. It has still this lane on the north side of the lane of the townhouse kind of development, but because you're not putting bigger buildings along West Washington Avenue, we're showing a little bit bigger building in the backyards of those properties. Again, those are still the deeper lots because basically the right-of-way for the urban lane is coming off these lots. Both scenarios show Dayton Street frontage and kind of around Broome and Bedford with more redevelopment. The difference in the two, you know, basically it's West Washington Avenue, and this one bumps you down to about from 60 to like 53 units per acre roughly. And again, what we were trying to do is just put together some more solid concepts so the public, so the Planning Commission has something more specific to point at and pick at and hopefully give us some more specific direction. The meeting that we just got done with across the street, there were like 20 people there. We did take a formal vote, or we did kind of a temperature taking. Definitely, between the two alternatives, people seem to be, at that meeting, seem to be gravitating towards alternative B more. Last thing I'll say about this is, this is not going to be an easy or inexpensive proposition to do that. These are all individual parcels, and they're not all individually owned, but there are a lot of owners in there. And so to make this all work, there's a lot of details that we would need to still work out. But what we would like to get from you tonight is if you think either of these are kind of on a right track in terms of what this is shaping up to look like, maybe feel like in the future, or if not, like some of this stuff and not other stuff, if you don't like any of it, we're just really trying to get a little more sense of direction from the commission so we can go back, take your input and end up proposing some recommendations so with that meeting on September 23rd, we know what we want to propose for this area.
You told everybody, but that was a pretty good picture.
Can you guys see this?
Oh, yeah.
Pass around. Okay, so this is West Mifflin Street. Bedford's over here. West Wash is right here. So this gives you a sense for kind of the rhythm and scale that's there now. Okay, pass it around. Really?
I think the important thing to point out with that photograph is what the middle of those blocks look like currently. The other photograph makes it look like
the trees block LL.
Tree. Well, when you look at it straight down, you can see that it's essentially dominated by its backyard surface parking lots.
Again, usually parking for commuters, I think. So,
okay. Questions or comments from commissioners? Is that something that's sort of us?
Yeah, I'd like to ask some questions about the other one. Not Alec. I assume there's nothing currently that blocks the creation of that?
Right.
Yep.
This is the Keller Building. Sorry, Washington Court, I guess. Right there, that's really there's some houses that would be supposed to be removed on the end. So there, there are a couple of houses like on the ends, but no development in the middle of the block.
So would this be a public right of way, and would we map it and then potentially condemn property in order to achieve it?
We talked about a lot of possibilities in terms of how to make this happen, but none of which we ever really decided on or taken those discussions really far, because what we're trying to get a sense of at this point is that there's a direction here that people like. Want to propose, and then how do we make it happen? We are trying to get some more information on kind of the dollars and cents of it, but understanding the true cost of that. I mean, we have some of that information already, but we have kind of that piece of the puzzle, but the piece that we don't have yet is what level of investment can you develop? Might that help spur? And then also, to have any of this work, either of these scenarios, something has to be done to help some of these houses that are along here. Because if you do part of this, the houses that are there are allowed just to continue the way that they have been going for another 25 years, well, then you're not really taking full advantage. Our goal
likelihood of success over several decades may not be as great.
First question is, I believe we call them zero lot line buildings. They're built out to the side lot lines with parking in front of them, apartment buildings.
Yep.
Are we still talking about those going away?
Yes.
There's one right there.
So there's one on Mifflin Street that's right here, and that will be a recommendation in our plan.
Okay.
That those go away.
Thanks.
As a general statement, but yeah, and this one, that building is located right here. We need some work. So that could be an opportunity for receiving side.
The other question has to do with, and you kind of alluded to the condition of those houses on Mifflin Street. And I'm wondering if they're in such a condition where they would even be worthy to be renovated, or are we talking about more tear down rebuilds, or what?
Yeah, we did a kind of a windshield walking survey and manuals of what we thought the conditions were of the houses there. We also talked to the building inspectors who, without going address by address and getting into the details, that for the most part, houses in this area are really good well. And most, structurally pretty sound, and there's something there to work with. It's more a lot of the cosmetic, some of them need a lot of work and a lot of money, but there's, it's not, don't have to tear them down and start them. Some of them, maybe you do, but the idea would be there's not a building to relocate, to fill in that gap that if you build a new house, it's built like 2.5 stories with the roof up, a front porch, sort of like the one that Madison Development Corporation did in the Portland block. But I swear I thought they just recycled the windows. I guess it was him.
Other questions or comments? We've got 5 to 10 minutes for our commissioners to weigh in.
What question is it? What comment? What is the mechanism under zoning or whatever you have in mind to have these houses move on?
Well, that's got to be part of the plan, comprehensive plan. It's very expensive to relocate houses, and maybe it's tied, depending on where they are currently located, maybe it's tied to the development. Redevelopment of a new site.
If you allow significantly more development density in one area, and there's a really good house, a really good building that you want to preserve in that area, in exchange for allowing that additional density, if you have a place to move that house, and it's right around the corner from where that additional development occurs, we've got a location. That maybe there's a deal that can be struck with the developer in exchange for the additional density. You do preserve that house as worthy of and we haven't completely thought through this, but in order to provide the site to the receiving area for the houses, that zero lot line building that Bill was pointing to is. Probably the most expensive property on those two blocks of Mifflin Street. And I don't think that's coming down anytime soon unless there's a public intervention. And so we have to develop a recommendation to implement the recommendations of the plan. And there is a way to do it, but it is going to cost them.
I think the important thing is it all starts with a plan. You have a flat out plan and adopted and put in place. It's a lot easier to having to make some of those things happen instead of kind of a little bit more scattershot. Where someone wants to build something, there's some houses there. Oh, maybe you'd like to see that move. So where you want to move and why and to what end. You have kind of a more comprehensive plan. Clear statements of what you're trying to accomplish, then that's a better starting point.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah. That's for sure.
So my comment is, in thinking back to the previous meeting we had on this, there was a much more radical proposal that was being floated by a group that was attached to downtown Madison. And so that's the context of my comment, is that made a lot of us kind of mince. Let's split the baby and say, well, maybe we'll do that on this block and keep this stuff down. I think you guys have come up with a pretty cool solution to achieve more redevelopment and more density and just a better environment while keeping the essence of the corner of Bassett and Mifflin basically intact, keeping the new development along this lunar, whatever you call it, sort of low and human scale without concrete canyons and everything. So I'm pretty, this the first time I've seen it, so I'm just digesting it, but I really applaud staff for this work. I think it's a good step forward, and it's a little early to, I don't have a strong opinion between A and B. That's another question. But this treatment of the Midland area,
I wondered how you envision the green space being handled between the urban lane and the fence. Will most of that be attached to the single families?
It could be some common open space. I think we're not envisioning it as any kind of park. This is probably the first thing, but we try to leave enough space that there's room around the building. It doesn't feel yet that there is some common space. It's held by these plants. It's not overly planned. Little sidewalks and patios and stuff drawn in there. But we don't know that level of detail yet. The idea is that there's some yard. Between there's, and then up here where there's bigger buildings proposed along Dayton, there's more space. One thing I should point out, we only have a few minutes, it's really hot, but it's probably worth noting, it doesn't really show in this plan, but this block just north of Dayton, so this corner of the building that you see here is a Doubletree Hotel. We're proposing that a new park be established on that block, so there's more open space that would also help provide some.
Some very great comments. First of all, thank you very much. This is very exciting to take a look at these concepts. The first thing that I'm very concerned about is I want whatever gets ultimately decided is kept with the mind that in this neighborhood, in this area, throughout Madison's history, huge chunks of decades, in one form or another, this is all considered a community within a community. It was a radically different community back in the turn of the 19th and 20th century as it was in the 60s, as it was from 1990 on now. But it's community nonetheless. And so as we look to make decisions, I'm gonna certainly keep that in mind. While I'm not very wed to the idea of preserving large parts of West Midland, I'll echo Mr. Sundquist's idea that the nexus of Midland and Bassett is a very important cultural anchor in downtown, and both of these concepts do preserve that, and I thank you for that. And lastly, what the most important thing to me out of all of this is the preservation of the promenade field that is West Washington Avenue. I'm not opposed to redevelopment among parcels here, but taking parcels at their current densities and putting in 4 and 6-story buildings all along it will canyonize, that's really a word, this area, and it will obliterate the promenade. For that reason, concept A, I'm very concerned about that effect, and I see that concept B preserves that, even though I don't think that we have to preserve all of those buildings. Thank you.
Thanks. Just a couple questions. First one, mostly residential in a human ratio,
yes,
about 100
focusing more on the building form, but I'll say we're looking, you know, we're considering this resident.
Okay.
There might be some non-residential first floor commercial or something. There's already some that exists kind of, you know, right here. Some of the corner, basically.
Given that Mr. Bassford's comment on the fact that we really looked at this as a separate piece of downtown, do you anticipate doing kind of a separate little special area or neighborhood plan just for this?
I think what we would do is include wherever we go with this, include that as a recommendation for the downtown.
Okay, so no further work there. And my last question was, remind me, is this in the TIF district or?
Not right now.
Should it be?
One of our recommendations, we'll consider how to fund some proposals that you're seeing.
Okay.
And a portion of this area was in a very successful TIF district.
Yep.
And it was closed. And at this plan that was when that TIF district was created, that district had the ability to implement large portions of what you're seeing.
Okay.
And whether it was a political building or that or not, I don't know. But
it would be a good tool.
It would be a good tool.
Okay, that's all I have, thanks.
I like B better.
I need to raise the issue of parking. Could you comment on what your thoughts are about parking these places for vehicles?
Sure.
Or not comment on later, give us some analysis.
I'll tell you a couple points here. Right. And this came up at our meeting. We just got across the street. What we're showing here are these buildings would have all have new buildings that have parking under the buildings. Maybe they could be a little larger if we wanted to try to accommodate some additional parking in the area. Or they don't have to be, obviously, mostly it's commuter parking. We've also talked, but we haven't really gotten that far to it. You saw where it went. Maybe there is a smaller remote parking structure just like maybe off to the west here that could accommodate some additional parking for this area, so more people, maybe not everybody parking right at their unit, but they have a place to keep their car within 2 blocks of their unit. But we're really looking at this area because also just off this map, kind of at the where train station is, it's now a bike shop, right near that intersection of West Washington Avenue and Regent Street. That's really, we're going to have some recommendations in the plan kind of about the opportunities there for people to try not to say that, get too jargony, but there's a lot of things that converge there that provide a lot of different opportunities for people who could live here to get, you know, get in and around downtown and beyond without having to have a car. It does have good street access. There are a lot of bus routes that go by there. Maybe there could be more in the future. If there's commuter rail in the future, there's probably going to be a stop within walking distance from here. The bike path goes right by there. So this is really kind of a transportation friendly area where there's a lot of opportunities for how you're going to go.
I just wanted to comment then that I also like Plan B, and I would hate to see smaller scale housing turn into 6-bedroom apartments.
Thank you. Both plans are very impressive and intriguing for this area, which clearly needs revitalization. And I agree with Mr. Murphy that an alley, it's okay to call it an alley. I think once you put cars on it, it's an alley. But how well has engagement gone? You mentioned all the property owners, and there are many of them. How well has engagement gone on that? Because Commissioner Olson described one scenario, which isn't necessarily the most positive one for a more rapid development. Be better options there. So how well does that go on?
We haven't actively tried to engage the property owners at this point. Some of them have been following this, some of them we talk to from time to time because they're just keeping tabs on what's going on with the plan. We let them know what we're talking about. until tonight, we really haven't shown these to anybody, because before we got too carried away, caused too big a ruckus, we wanted to check in with the planning commission and have you guys give us an opportunity to say, yeah, continue, you know, kind of working through this or that, or what are you guys thinking about? Don't ever show this again outside of this room. You know, so we didn't want to jump the gun, and that's why we wanted to just have an opportunity to touch base with you guys.
And if I may, Mr. Vasper made some interesting comments regarding canyonization, et cetera, of West Watch potentially, and that's a legitimate concern, and I think this will pose an interesting dilemma for the whole, help me here, I'm missing a key word here, of massing and where we're putting a lot of people, density, thank you, I just couldn't even think of it for some reason, because density often brings conflicting values right in front of us, and I think this may be a classic case of that as I look forward to the debate on it. You mentioned parking, and other commissioners have asked about that as well. So the intent was not to, or was it to reduce the amount of parking in the neighborhood? I understand you may be able to move some or not, but was it to eliminate those probably unattractive and not necessarily the best value for the space of those lots that are existing now?
It's part of it. I think what we were really talking about, kind of the bottom line on parking, is to provide the parking that's needed to support the people that are going to be there. Not really providing for the commuters that are currently parking in the backyards here. But and what that level is, we haven't really gotten to that detail. I think we've kind of thought about the floor plates of these and the sizes, you know, now parking it would accommodate based on recent development in the area in the last 10-15 years and how big those buildings were. So basically it's to accommodate parking for residents, whatever that is, and not commuters. So hopefully that helps. Maybe that's easier.